The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
Welcome aboard, everybody. You are listening to Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzlaff Yacht Sales. I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. Wolf Marine is a third-generation family-owned and operated marina. We are located on the St. Croix River, 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. We are at mile marker, St. Croix River mile marker 24.5. We have slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 foot, so we can accommodate most everybody. Right now, we're winding down towards the end of the year here and wrapping things up. So, and off to my port side here, I have...
As usual, John Tetzlaff with Tetzlaff Yacht Sales. We're at mile marker zero on the Browns Creek Trail.
Hey, hey.
So, hey, I got you beat on that one. I'm number zero. I don't know if that's good or bad. But Tetzlaff Yacht Sales, TetzlaffYachtSales.com, 651-214-9463. And the email is JAT787@CS.com. Wrapping up a great season again for sales and listings. It just keeps going, and I'm very happy about that, and I know Eric wants me to sell, or send some of those sold boats to that marina.
Absolutely, I could take them.
Yeah, so it's been a great year. One thing I want to do before we introduce our guests, I just want to mention that I think I mentioned on previous shows, I'm a volunteer for the Yellow Ribbon here in Washington County. We help veterans and their families. And we're having our annual Veterans Recognition Dinner November 10th from 5 to 7 at St. Francis of Assisi Church in Lake St. Croix Beach. So if you're a veteran in the area, you can bring your wife, your husband, your kids, and come on down and get a free meal. And we have all kinds of gifts that we give away. In fact, I'm going to talk to Eric and KLBB to see if they want to give anything away.
No pressure there, huh?
Has to happen now. So anyway, we want to welcome two great guests. In fact, this is the second and third time for some of the guests here. We have Lisa Dugan. She's the Safety Outreach Coordinator with the DNR. And then we have Jake Willis, who's a Conservation Officer with the DNR. Welcome aboard, everybody.
Thanks for having us back.
Thanks.
Say, I think you gave me some information. Maybe you want to kind of go over, you know, what happened throughout the summer and kind of, you know, go from there.
Sure. We can go over a little bit since we're nearing the end of the boating season. Always nice to recap and see what we've done well, things that we can improve on. Go over our boating statistics a little bit. We did start out the year at a pretty high boating fatality rate. We had three of the earliest boating fatalities, February and early March, that we've seen come up in about 7 years or so. And didn't get off to the best start. We really tried to get those safety messages out there. And going into the busy 4th of July weekend, we really steadied off with those statistics. And of course, anything over zero is too many. But we'll keep putting out those safety messages, getting people to try on new styles of life jackets, wear those life jackets every time they're on the boats, and we can hopefully see these numbers go down.
Yes, and when you talk about waters, you're talking about not just the St. Croix, Mississippi. You're including all water in the state of Minnesota, lakes, whatever.
Correct, all bodies of water in Minnesota.
Okay, all right. Say, you know, the big one, I guess, is, and I know we're going to get into it a little bit more maybe down the road, but the carbon monoxide and, you know, the law that's going to be coming into effect starting next year and maybe going over the one fatality that we did have on the St. Croix over the past summer.
Sure. Well, we can talk a little bit more about Sophia's Law, the carbon monoxide law in Minnesota. I think first and most important, if we haven't talked about that yet, the effective date did get pushed back from 2017 to May 1st, 2018, to give boaters and rental areas and just a little bit more time to comply with the law, ease the pressure off of getting those in right away, wait to do it the right way.
And along with that, the manufacturers of the carbon monoxide detectors, they were a little slow on coming in also. I think... with the delay of the law, there's probably not going to be any excuses now. The the boat retailers now can get the carbon monoxide detectors fairly easy. We can get them on the shelves and out to the boaters.
Exactly, and I think the last time we had, I'm not sure both of you are in for this one, but when we talked about Sophia's Law, it aired on that Saturday morning, and I believe that Saturday afternoon or night is when we had the fatality on the St. Croix, I believe.
And another, you know, it's tragic accident. You never want to see this, especially when this has been a focus in the media, a safety point that, you know, we really want people to learn those symptoms of carbon monoxide, to be aware, draw a little bit of awareness to those symptoms that so easily can be contributed to motion sickness, or if you're drinking a little bit, it can, those symptoms run very similarly, dizziness, you're going to feel nauseous, not quite on your feet. So all of those are easily brushed off as to something else, but definitely with a little awareness, hopefully those symptoms, get some fresh air. Check your carbon monoxide detectors in your boats. Make sure they are functioning. If they're older than 5 years, maximum 7 years, double check. Make sure they're functioning. Put a new one in the boat. Protect yourself, your family, your friends that are on the boat. Take care of each other.
It's not only a good idea to know the symptoms for boating, but also you know, anything else. Even you know, your car, your you know, your garage at home. You know, you may have a bad furnace, but one of the other things that it's going to be coming up here shortly, and I hear it every year. We always lose a couple of people in ice shacks. It's really huge. I don't know, you know, what we can do about that, but knowing the symptoms is one of the most important things, and hopefully those that that are fishing in the ice shacks, you know, take precautions, especially if you don't have a vented heater, which a lot of the fish shacks do not have. If you have a vented heater, it's probably a lot better, but you still have to be very careful and be aware of what can happen.
Hey, Jake, I think you said you may have responded to that incident on the Croix last summer.
Yeah, I did respond to it. I don't want to make too many specific comments about the that incident just because I'm not the primary investigating agency. It was technically in Wisconsin water, so Wisconsin DNR took the primary. But I was the second boat on scene when we were evacuating victims out. It is important to understand the symptoms and to recognize them, to take action quickly, because you can be overtaken so quickly. And if you're asleep and don't have time to recognize it, you know, it can be especially dangerous, which is why Sophia's Law is so important.
Yeah, that's sad. And I'm not sure if I heard this right, but that may have been their new boat and their first trip out on the river?
Correct, yeah.
How sad that was. And did I understand correctly that it was just cold out that day and they fired up the generator to get the heat going?
Yeah, I know a generator was running. I'm not sure if it was to run heat or what it was, but the wind was certainly, and you know how the wind can be on the St. Croix, it can switch quickly. And when it goes straight out of the south or north and runs the entire length of the river, it can change things really quickly.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned once on a previous show that I was going down river with a wind at my back. And I had it's a hard top boat with a full enclosure in the back. And I did have at the time, this was several years ago, I did have a regular home carbon monoxide detector in there, and it did alarm. So, of course, you know, we put the boat into the wind and opened the windows, and it took a while, but it finally subsided and closed the back door on the hard top, and off we went. I think our destination that time was Red Wing. So
sure.
Well, and Sophia's Law requires the marine CO detector, but, I mean, that just shows the importance of, even if you don't have the marine CO detector, if your boat's not mandated to have it, having something is better than nothing.
Yeah, and at the time, there was nothing mandated.
Right.
You know, this was, like I said, several years ago, and it was just by whim, probably, that I put this carbon monoxide detector in, and, hey, it worked.
That's good. Otherwise, I'd have your brother in here and not you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something to joke about or not, but anyway, not meant to be a joke. You had mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show about some of the incidents that were going on in the waters of Minnesota, and I'm looking at the type of accidents that happened. It looks like collisions with another watercraft were it.
Yes, that number jumped up definitely this year in our... non-fatal boating accidents are right now going on a 10-year high at 87, which still, until the end of the year, we have more reports coming in from the county, so that number may actually rise. But if we're looking past the last couple years, out of those 87 accidents, 36 of those are contributed to collisions with another watercraft. Hmm. In 2016, that number was 28, and in 2015, it was 22. Hmm. So we are quite a bit higher, and I think the safety message in that is we're focused on put your phones down when you're texting or when you're driving. Don't be texting and driving. Distracted boating and operating a boat while something else is going on can be just as dangerous as driving your car and having distractions in your car. So the operator's got a big responsibility when they have themselves, other people in the boat. Put the phones down, put the distractions down. Boats don't come with brakes. We really got to pay attention with that on the busy waters.
Well, and I can say it can be even more important on boats just because there's no lanes of travel. There's no stop signs and intersections and turn lanes and things like that. So a lot of times making sure your boat is operating safely and not colliding with other watercraft requires that operator to be tracking another boat to figure out where exactly they're going and where a safe point to pass is and who has the right of way.
So do you think maybe that phone distraction is just as bad as the alcohol-related or getting close, or is there a big difference?
I think with the statistics, it's hard to track if the person was distracted at the time of an accident. We do know that the last couple of years, 50% of our fatality rates have been attributed to alcohol being involved at the time of the accident. So those numbers aren't something to ignore. There's a lot of contributing factors, and all of them need to be considered.
Okay, all right. Here's an old rumor that I've heard for a long time being out on the river. There was some thought that maybe it's the Wisconsin DNR because they're the ones that have jurisdiction over the Hudson Islands. Would they be turning that into a park like they did down at Kinnick?
I've heard no specific information about that happening. I know Minnesota, I don't think Minnesota would be involved in any way. Those islands are Wisconsin land, technically. So if anyone was going to take it over, it would be Wisconsin. But I have heard nothing about that happening.
Okay, maybe that was just an old one.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about that, Eric?
I have not heard anything about that. And I think if there is any truth to that, I think we probably would have heard more about it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and it is Wisconsin land, but I don't know if it's public land, if it belongs to the city of Hudson, if it already belongs to the state and it's just state land. I'm not sure. I think that would be an influence in that decision, too.
Sure. Okay. All right. And what about the no wake at the St. Croix crossing, the new bridge? What's going on there?
Well, it appears to me the construction's all done. As far as I know, the buoys are out in that no wake zone. So the signs at the landings have been taken out. As long as there's no workers there, I still urge people to be very cautious proceeding through there in case there is some sort of maintenance or other thing going on. But the buoys are out there. But this is a good chance to also talk about the no-wake zones on other parts of the river aside from there are statutory no-wake zones. So even though now the counties have taken out the no-wake buoys, including the Kinney Narrows, Catfish Bar, Hudson Narrows, and the other year-round no-wake zones, those are still in effect even when the buoys are down because it is a charted waterway, so operators need to be aware of those too.
And I think I don't know if you would call it the requirement, but the reason they do that is because in most cases the channel narrows to, is it less than 150 feet?
150 feet, yeah, is the rule on the lower St. Croix for no wake within a shoreline.
And that is the boater's responsibility to know that.
Correct.
Ignorance is not a, what's the saying again? An ignorance of the law? Something like that anyway.
Right.
So here's another one. I've heard that I haven't heard. I know that people want to get a no wake for the Stillwater area. But it's also my understanding that both Minnesota and Wisconsin have to be in agreement on that, and that Wisconsin really has nothing to gain from it.
Yeah, and I can't speak for Wisconsin, but I do know in order for it to become a statutory no wake zone, it does have to be agreed upon by both states and passed in that fashion. I haven't heard that Wisconsin's against it, but I haven't heard that Minnesota's for it either. So will it happen? Maybe, but I would say it's a long ways out.
Yeah, and I've been to many these meetings that I know at one point in time here, I think it was a year or two ago, Sunnyside tried to get a no-egg zone passed in front of their marina, and it was turned down. And basically, the reason being is because it didn't meet the standards of the 150 foot. So yes, if 150 feet from 150 feet out to their docks is a no-wake zone, yes, but yep. Anything beyond that is not, and it's a tough push. I've always been against any more no-wake zones on the St. Croix myself,
and I've seen that mostly the people that are very in favor are the customers and the owners of marinas, obviously because they're concerned about damage to their docks and the boats that are stored there consistently on the dock. But the 150 feet there rule is there to help prevent that. And boaters need to be aware, too, that even if you're more than 150 feet away, you are still responsible if your wake causes any sort of damage. So if you're plowing water with a 45-foot cabin cruiser that creates 4-foot swells and you damage 5 boats in the marina and you're 160 feet away, you are still responsible for the outcome of your wake.
Yeah, and that's purely education of the boaters. You know, like you said, you've got 150 feet. You might be 300 feet out with the larger boat and you're going to do damage, but yet the guy with the 18-foot fishing boat, you know, he doesn't have to go slow. I mean, you're not creating more than an 18-inch or maybe a 12-inch wake. So, you know, that's the main reason why I'm against it. It's just boaters, you have to be aware of what you're creating there and what kind of problems you may cause.
And I from my position as a state enforcement officer, I can't have an opinion about the laws. So, but I will say that I think that enforcement of our current laws would help with a lot of the issues that are happening.
Absolutely.
And looks like we're coming up on a break with Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales and our two great guests here from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. My name is John Tetzloff, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, and on my starboard side,
I am Eric Wolf with Wolf Marine. So just stay tuned here. We'll be right back.
Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face.
A convenient location and protected bay. Shouldn't that be where you harbor your boat? If so, dock your boat at Wolf Marine in Stillwater. Hello, this is Eric Wolf. After all, why have a boat if you can't get out onto the water and enjoy it? My grandparents, along with my father, established this marina at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96, just a mile north of Stillwater in 1957. But being just north of downtown, you avoid heavy traffic that keeps you from getting out onto the water. And in our protected bay, we have hundreds of slips ranging in size from 16 to 50 feet, so we can accommodate a variety of boats. Not sure if this is the best place to keep your boat? Come see me. I can answer your questions so you can decide the best place to dock your boat. And because Wolf Marine is a three-generation family-owned marina, you can count on consistency from year to year. Talk to me and get out on the water faster at Wolf Marine.
Hello, this is John Tetzloff of Tetzloff Yacht Sales. If you are thinking about getting out on the water in a nice used boat, now is the time to talk to me. Whether you are looking at a houseboat, cruiser, motor yacht, or something else, and with the largest selection of boats in the area, not only do we have boats in Stillwater, but we also broker boats up and down the St. Croix, Mississippi, Lake Minnetonka, all over North America, and even overseas. I will work hard for you before and after the sale. To enjoy the water this summer, come visit TetzloffYachtSales.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Boating with Wolf Marine and Tetzloff Yacht Sales. My name is John Tetzloff. I own Tetzloff Yacht Sales right downtown Stillwater here at Stillwater Marina. My address is 575 Main Street North. The website is TetzloffYachtSales.com. The email is JAT787@CS.com. Telephone 651-214-9463. And Eric?
I am Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, at the intersection of Highway 95 and 96. I can be reached at area code 651-439-2341. Drop us an email, info@wolfmarine.net. Check us out on the web, wolfmarine.net. And we are going to continue with our friendly DNR folks here. We're glad to have them, and I think we have a few more questions that we're going to ask, and hopefully we have some great answers for.
And again, it's Jake Willis and Lisa Dugan, and if they wanted to get a hold of you guys for any questions or send an email, how would they do that? Where would they go? Or
I would direct the public to our, we have a really great website at mndnr.gov, where you can boating publications. We have a lot of really great boating publications that are free to the public. There's a list of those on our website, and questions for what conservation officer may be located in an area you're looking for. We have a tip line that you can call for any fishing and hunting violations that you may see, and a great info center that can answer a lot of questions with just one call.
Cool.
And to reach your local conservation officer, the DNR website with the conservation officer locator she was talking about is great. Otherwise, you can reach the on-duty conservation officer through the Minnesota State Patrol Dispatch, which is where our 911 dispatch is located. And the tip line number is 1-800-652-9093.
And quickly, can we give you just like a quick example of what somebody should probably be contacting you for?
Well, from an enforcement standpoint, violations in progress are best routed through State Patrol Dispatch. They'll know whether there's a conservation officer close or not. Many of those statutes, particularly related to boat and water safety, can also go through your local law enforcement. So the Washington County Sheriff's Office, for example, in the Stillwater area would be a good resource for that.
Very good. Cool. All right. Well, we have a few more questions here for you. A lot of people, when I'm out on the river and in doing sea trials or just cruising around, I see a lot of different agencies from both sides of the river. How many are there, maybe, say, on the St. Croix River at any given time?
Well, at any given time, I couldn't say just because shifts vary, but total number of agencies is six. So you have, on the Wisconsin side, you have St. Croix County Sheriff, Pierce County Sheriff, if you go further south on the river, and then you have Wisconsin DNR. And then on the Minnesota side, you have us with the Minnesota DNR Enforcement Division, as well as the Washington County Sheriff's Office. And then you have the National Park Service when you get up north of Stillwater.
And we'll throw another one in, which is the U.S. Coast Guard, which is up here, especially during the busy holiday weekends.
Yep.
And now, is the Coast Guard, are they able to enforce law?
Their rules are a bit different, and I don't want to speak for them just because I'm not sure 100%, but they can do boat and water safety checks, and they do have federal enforcement authority.
Okay, cool. And all these agencies, they have the power to enforce laws on both sides of the river?
Correct. Yep. Shore to shore is the agreement for border waters between Minnesota and Wisconsin. In addition, for game and fish laws, Minnesota and Wisconsin both have concurrent jurisdiction going one county deep into the neighboring state.
Okay. So just be good, and you won't have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Just do what you're supposed to do, and you won't have to know that.
Deterrence is prevention.
There you go. So here's a question. A lot of St. Croixers and Mississippiites want to know, which is the busier area? Is it the St. Croix River from Stillwater to Prescott, or is it the Mississippi from St. Paul to Prescott?
Well, I'm frequently on both of those sections of river, and I don't have numbers in front of me, but speaking anecdotally from my experience, the St. Croix is far busier than that section of the Mississippi.
And when you say busier, are you saying more boats? Are you saying more law enforcement calls, or both?
Both, really. I would say significantly more boats, just because the St. Croix is much easier to navigate and tends to be a more scenic riverway, whereas that section of the Mississippi has a lot of industrial areas and gravel pits and more of an urban environment, and has some areas with water treatment plants and things that don't smell as nice as most of the lower St. Croix does. They're still both very busy waterways. They're both big water that can have a lot of hazards and dangers involved, but far more recreational boating going on the St. Croix.
And I'm going to step in there and say that, you know what, I love the Mississippi River. I think the Mississippi River is almost just as nice as the St. Croix. I think they're both beautiful, and I would not hesitate to boat on either one of them.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but I'm a little biased on the St. Croix River. There's nothing more beautiful than the St. Croix River, especially there's a nice marina that's 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater.
what can we say?
I have to promote that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I sell boats all over here, so I get around. I love all the areas.
I regularly work from downtown Minneapolis on the Mississippi River, come all the way down through to Prescott, and then north on the St. Croix to Stillwater is where I spend a lot of my summer. So I'm on both bodies of water a considerable amount.
Sure, I'm just messing with you.
I like both as well.
All right. And I think I mentioned this, and you did too, about the infractions. You had mentioned the St. Croix probably has more infractions because there's more boaters. What's some of the infractions that you're talking about?
Well, we have, I think there's a few more anglers on the St. Croix as well, and I don't know if it's just due to familiarity or if it's just the fish by our biting more this season on the St. Croix. So we get a lot of the game and fish violations on the St. Croix. In addition to that, frequently we're finding violations with PFDs, which is something I really don't like to see. Definitely having your life jackets and throwable flotation devices and required equipment is very important. And every time I'm doing a boat check, I'm checking all of that. One of the biggest infractions that we see on the St. Croix due to the high level of recreational boating is noise. And it's one of the biggest complaints that we get. And some of my co-workers with the Minnesota DNR did a noise detail this summer over one Saturday. And in that one day, they wrote 11 tickets for boats that were louder than legal. Minnesota requires that during an idle test, which has specific requirements that we're all trained in, you can't be louder than 84 decibels at an idle. The highest one, if I remember correctly, was 102 decibels at idle. Mm. And the thing to understand with decibels is when you go up three notches, it's not like you just turned up the volume from 6 to 9. Three decibels is the same as doubling the legal level. So, for example, the legal level at an idle test is 84 decibels. If they're at 87 decibels, that's the same noise level as it would be with two boats at 84 decibels idling together.
And now, are the laws pretty much common for noise throughout the country, or is this specific to this region?
No, it's consistent. I can't say that every state is the same. I know Wisconsin is 2 decibels higher. We're 84, they're 86, so there's some fluctuation, but I would say it's very consistent unless you get into international waters on oceans where noise isn't an issue.
Okay, and let's say I've got a boat that seems to be a little loud. How do I check it? How do I know?
Well, you can get a legal decibel test. I'm okay with going and testing boats for people. I would rather test it and tell you that, no, this isn't going to work, so you can get it taken care of, rather than issue a citation. So that's not to say I don't want half of the East Metro calling me to do noise tests on boats.
You just set it up.
but I am happy to help people out with that. I would much rather do that than write a citation any day.
And you can also check with your local Coast Guard Auxiliary and Power Squadron, and they'll do the safety checks for you as well if that's something that you have a specific question on or just a safety check before you head out for the season.
And that's free, too, to call up the Coast Guard and do that, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, and did you get a sticker to put in your window or anything like that?
Only if you pass.
Only if you pass. Okay. All right. Okay. Say, I think we're coming to the end. We're down to a couple minutes here. Our expert engineer in the other room has just pointed that to us. So I just wanted to mention a boat that I think I mentioned last week, and I really, really would like to get it sold, and so would the owners. It's a 2004 37-foot Cruisers Express. This one has twin diesels, which is rare for that size boat in the area. It has the generator, the air conditioning, the windlass. It just had brand new radar and electronics put on the boat, new interior flooring, new exterior flooring. This boat is fantastic. Problem is that they are now admirals. They currently own another boat and want to get this one sold so they can claim to be a captain again. So give me a call on that 2004 37-foot Cruisers Express with the twin diesels, and I'll get you on there. You'll be impressed, and you could end up owning that boat.
Okay, and I just want to mention something really quick here. Now that it's fall, we had a boat out there the other day that broke down, blew into the bridge. We are so busy, I couldn't drop everything to go pick him up. I think Washington County Sheriff finally went down to help him out. But things to consider in this late fall boating, yes, it's beautiful out there and all that, but there is no one out there to help you. So if you are doing the late fall boating, be prepared. Make sure that you have a second plan or something that if something goes wrong, you know what to do. You have someone standing by that could help you. I just wanted to throw that out there. The marinas right now, nobody can help you. Nobody can drop what they're doing to go out and help you. So keep that in mind. And again, my name is Eric Wolf. I am the co-owner of Wolf Marine. We are located 1 mile north of downtown Stillwater, intersection of Highway 95 and 96. We are a family-run and operated marina. So we enjoy family. Would like to have yours down at our marina. So get yourself a boat from John. Come down and see us. You can call us at 651-439-2341.
Give us an email, info@wolfmarine.com. Check us out on the web, wolfmarine.net.
And I am John Tetzloff, Tetzloff Yacht Sales, the largest selection of used boats and for sale. Give me a call. We sell more. We list more. And I appreciate Lisa Dugan and Jake Willis from the DNR coming in and talking on our show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
See you next time.